So in Ephesians chapter 5, I want to begin to read at verse number 18. And if you would just follow with me. The Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our time to come to the assembly, to worship you together as a body. We thank you, Lord, for the scriptures, and Father, we find spiritual food, we find great instruction, we find so much from the Word of God, encouragement and health for our soul. And I pray that you would please feed us today and teach us today, and Lord, do a work in our heart today, that our hearts would be open to your Spirit and your teaching, that Lord, what we learn, what we know, what we see in the Word of God, we would apply and we would live, and through that we would glorify you. And so please have your way in our hearts, Lord. Please help me. I do need you, and always I need you, Lord. But today I think I do feel a little cloudy in my mind, so I need your help just to give me clarity of thought. And just help me, Father, to proclaim the message that you put in my heart through study. Bless and use it, and be glorified, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title I put on this message is Happily Married. And I hope most of those of you who are married are happily married. And I want to talk to about marriage today, but really, I think, in a general sense, about the home. And so, because we're speaking about marriage, now some of you I know are not yet married, and you might think this message is not for you, but I'm sure there are things in here that God will help to feed your spirit, your soul, and help you grow in the Lord. But also, many of you no doubt will one day be married, and these things are necessary. So for those of you who are single, and I want to say, some are single temporarily. Some Christians are single permanently, as far as, you know, they never marry. And there's, you know, that doesn't make, I want to say in this message that marriage is a gift and a blessing of God. But I want to just say to the ones that are single that that does not mean that if you're not married, you don't have God's blessing, because you certainly can. And I remember reading 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about Paul saying that there are some who have a gift of singleness, and with that they can serve the Lord whole, you know, with their whole being, their entire body, soul, and mind, and life. They don't have the responsibilities that married couples have, and so forth. And so I remember reading that, and I was single at the time and wanted to serve God with all of my heart, and I surrendered and said, Lord, if you would want me to remain single, I'm willing to do that. Today I'm thankful that God had other plans, but I was willing to serve the Lord in that way. But you know, God instituted marriage. Right from the beginning, we see that in the book of Genesis in chapter 2. He quotes from that. We read in verse 31, "For this cause shall man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife." In Genesis, in chapter 2, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And then he said in verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And whenever I read that about, you know, God creating Adam and then after he looked at Adam and said, it's not good for man to be alone, and he created Eve and gave Eve to him as a wife, and they were wed, they were married, she was called a helpmeet for him, which basically, it simply means that she was a helper suited for him, meet for him, meet in the sense that she was suitable. So whenever I read that, I always see it as the, you know, like a gift that God gave to Adam. Adam was alone there. It was not good. He was lonely. He had no one suitable. Nobody. He had all the animals, the other created beings. But we like our pets a little bit, but it's not the same thing, right? You know. And so he created Eve. Now it's not like it was an afterthought. Not that God just said, "Oh, wait, oh boy, you know, I didn't make anybody for Adam." I don't think it was an afterthought. I think really it was maybe God did it in that order to express his love for Adam, to demonstrate his love for Adam, to show Adam that he loved him and that he could meet all of his needs and provide his needs. And so he provides for Adam a wife. And so this is the marriage relationship is one that is very unique and special. In the sense that he talks about him leaving his father and mother. Now that's a wonderful relationship, you know, children and parents. But the marriage relationship is one that is even more intimate and enduring. Of course, the parent relationship is enduring in the sense that, these nice looking young people here will always be my children, right? And I was thinking about how there's only a few human relationships that reflect our relationship with God. One of them is the parent-child relationship. We're called children of God. You know, he says in John chapter 1, verse 12, that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. In 1 John chapter 3, a lovely verse, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And so sons or children of God, is when we are born again, we're born into the family of God. And I like that kind of way that God put that terminology in the Bible. To think of the Lord as God is my Father. You know, when we pray and we say, "Our Father which art in heaven," and that puts in our heart, it puts in our mind that God is loving like a Father, and God is providing. He wants to care for our needs. And of course, there's the respect and the, you know, that we show to Him as a Father. And so that's one of the relationships. The other human relationship that reflects our relationship with God, of course, is the marriage relationship. We read this here that he said, it's kind of a mystery, verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And so the relationship that we have with our Savior is such an intimate relationship, such a wonderful oneness, a bond that is reflected in the marriage union between a man and a woman. And we all understand when God instituted marriage, He instituted it between a man and a woman, and that they were one man, one woman for a lifetime. That was God's plan. That's God's, still God's plan, by the way. And so, I'm just saying, first of all, that to me, marriage is a wonderful, beautiful gift from God. And my wife has one of the greatest gifts God has given me in my life. You know, outside of salvation, and He gave His Son, the Savior, that's the greatest gift. But besides that, I would count Betsy to be the greatest gift I have, next to salvation. And she has brought so much to my life. And so marriage is a wonderful relationship. And you know, the devil has certainly done a lot to attack that. Would you not agree? Satan has, I think, forever been attacking the home and just attacking marriage. And certainly we see so much today of how Satan has done what he could to bring a negative view toward marriage. I was just looking up just for some examples, some things, and I found way more quotes than I wanted about people who look negatively about marriage. I'll read you just a couple. One person said, "Wedding is a funeral where you smell your own flowers." Mickey Rooney said, "Always get married in the morning. That way, if it doesn't work out, you haven't wasted the whole day." Another person said, "Marriage is not a process for prolonging the life of love. It merely mummifies the corpse." And then I'll read you just this last one, and there's pages and pages you could find. "Marriage is not a word, it is a life sentence. The truth, as I see it, is that contemporary marriage is a wretched institution. It spells the end of voluntary affection and love, freely given and joyously received. Beautiful romances are transmitted into dull marriages, and eventually the relationship becomes constricting, corrosive, grinding, and destructive. The beautiful love affair becomes a bitter contract." Now that's the view of some of marriage. And today you hear these things that marriage is, you know, that they're redefining marriage. They are just looking disparagingly upon marriage. But that should never be the Christian view. Marriage is an institution of God for the blessing, for the health, for the protection, it's a foundation of our society. God made the home, and the home, is really the foundation of our whole society. Without a home, and those of us who were raised in a home where you had a mom, you had a dad, you had a family, you had a place, you are blessed to have that. And it is truly a blessing of God, and so I just it saddens me, is what it really does. It makes me sad when I think about the way the world views it sometimes. Well, we are to be happily married, and we have some wonderful instructions here about how to be happily married. And I hope you've learned these already, but I want to review them with you this morning. Three things that I see in this text that constitutes a happy marriage. And when we apply these things, truly we can be happily married. The first one is really the key. It's really the vital thing. Sometimes Christian homes emphasize that the husband is the head of the house, right? And we read here that he does say that the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and so forth. We do read about the wife is to submit to her husband, and that's a biblical thing. But there are those who, you know, some, and most time it's the men, some husbands that, you know, they really put a lot of weight on that, you know, that this is a way, you know, it is, I'm the head, you're to obey, and this sort of thing, and they like to throw their weight around, and they like to think that that means that, you know, everybody has to kind of bow to my whims and my wishes, and that's not what God intended. Others are more democratic about it, you know, saying, well, you know, I mean, yes, the husband is the head of the house, but, you know, everybody is a member and we all should kind of, you know, share in the decisions and so forth and so on. But, you know, really, neither one of those models by themselves will bring a happy home. How do you have a happy home? Who is going to lead the home? Who is going to be the head of the home? Well, verse number 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, really, if you want to have a godly Christian home and a happy marriage, if you are a believer and you know God makes it clear that Christians are to marry Christians, and when a Christian is married to a Christian, they both have the Holy Spirit. Amen? And with the Holy Spirit in their life, when we yield to the Holy Spirit, in other words, He's really the one who's in control. He's the one who's calling the shots. He's the one who is really the head. When we are yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, then we have the key ingredient from which the rest of this will flow to have a happy marriage. Happy marriages are really, I know there's other happy, you know, people that aren't even saved, that they can be happy together, that's true. But we're talking about in a Christian home, when we yield to the Holy Spirit, we find the recipe for happiness. And we'll see that more as we go along. But I just want you to think about the fact that it's not only about, you know, the structure, the husband in this position, the wife in this position, the children in these positions. That's not all what it's about. It's about all of us being yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. When he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, that does not imply that, you know, that we... It's not a quantity of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you know, it's not like we get degrees of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity, right? We all understand that. Co-equal with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And, excuse me, I still have that cough I took with me to Philippines. But anyway, I was hoping to get rid of it over there, but I brought it back. But now, most of you understand what this means to be filled with the Spirit. But I want to make it clear this morning. All of us, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible is very clear about that. Romans chapter 8 says that if you have not the Spirit of God, then you are none of His. And so we all have the Holy Spirit permanently indwelling us. We're sealed in the Spirit. And when you got the Holy Spirit, you got all of Him. It's not about, you know, getting more of the Holy Spirit. It's really about the Holy Spirit getting more of you. I really like the illustration I heard many years ago, the story about D.L. Moody. And they were going to some place, they were talking about having a revival meeting and who should be the speaker. And somebody suggested, we should get D.L. Moody. And somebody, I think, was a little jealous that Moody had such a reputation. And he said, you know, D.L. Moody does not have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. And the man said, true, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on D.L. Moody. You see, that's the difference. The difference is when we yield control, when we don't walk in the flesh, we're not controlled by the flesh, but we're walking in the Spirit. Every step of our life is Spirit-led and Spirit-controlled. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. It's the contrast of be not drunk with wine, because alcohol is a controlling substance. If you were driving under the influence of alcohol, you'd be influenced, controlled by, in a negative way, that substance. But in a positive way, we're to be controlled, influenced by the Holy Spirit of God. And so this is essential, because when we see the fruit of that in the verses following, it makes for a happy home. It makes for a good marriage. And so really, the number one thing that I should seek after in seeking to be a good husband is to be filled with God's Spirit, to yield myself to His control, to allow Him to be my strength and guide. Husbands who lead without the fullness of the Spirit will lack purpose and understanding. It's the same thing where, just as much as Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. And we apply that, you know, many times in spiritual service. I realize completely that without the Lord, without His help, as a pastor, I would fail. As a preacher, I would fail. As a witness for God, I would lack. I would not be able to bear fruit. Without the fullness of His Spirit, without God, I can do nothing. The same is true in my marriage relationship. Without the Lord in my life, without God leading and helping me, I really am not going to be the husband or the father that I should be by the grace of God. Wives who are not yielded and filled with the Holy Spirit, their submission will lead to frustration many times. But if they're full of the Holy Spirit, there will be a peace. So, this is key. And I just want you to get, if you get nothing else, get that. That first of all, a happy marriage, happily married, starts with control by the Holy Spirit. Number two, communication with the help of the Lord. There needs to be some communication. This year at the couples retreat, I don't know if it was mentioned, but usually, many times when you go to marriage seminars, they emphasize communication. Wives and husbands need to communicate. That's what relationships are built on. I heard the story about this family. There was an Aunt Agnes moved in with them. She was, you know, needed help, couldn't live on her own, so she moved in. The only problem was Agnes was a little bit demanding and a little cranky. And so put a little strain on the home, you know, and she lived there I don't know how long, and then Aunt Agnes died. And they went to the funeral, and when the funeral was over, the husband said to his wife, he said, "You know, honey, it's because I love you so much that I put up with Aunt Agnes, your Aunt Agnes, living with us all this time." She said, "My Aunt Agnes? I thought that was your Aunt Agnes." And so sometimes couples fail to communicate about important things, you know. But the point is, there needs to be a communication. And when we find, when we're filled with the Spirit, notice verse 19 again. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That sounds like good communication, doesn't it? There's the spoken word, speaking. And then there's the melody in your heart, making melody in your heart to the Lord. First of all, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, there's a joyful communication. Joyful. You know, there's a real lack of joy and joyful communication in a lot of homes. Sometimes the homes are more filled with bickering and complaining and arguing. And that's a sign of the fact that we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. When there's always the, you know, nagging, picking on one another and so forth, that just means that we better go pray and confess and get full with the Holy Spirit, because The Spirit of God brings a different kind of communication, a joyful communication. Sadly, a large percentage of police officers are called out many times to domestic violence calls. And it's a sad thing. There's a lot of it that goes along, but that should never be the case in the Christian home. Because when we're yielded to the Spirit of God, He produces in us a peace and a joy, right? I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is love. There will be love there. There will be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, all those things will be there because of the Holy Spirit operating in our life as we draw near to the Lord. And so I'm just saying again to husbands, wives, draw close to God and that'll bless your marriage. It'll bring joyful communication. We'll be able to speak to ourselves. And you know, it talks about speaking to yourself, or, you know, that's sort of that inward voice, and it's psalms, it's hymns, it's spiritual songs. Don't you think that if you were at work all day and there's a hymn, you know, "Great is thy faithfulness," running through your mind? When that's going on in your heart, when you come home and you communicate then with your words, what's going to pour out of your heart? What's going to flow out of your mouth? It's going to be joyful. It's not going to be that, you know, it's hard to be singing Amazing Grace in my heart and then, you know, with the next breath, breathe out some kind of, you know, harshness or bad speech. Because in my heart, I'm singing, I have a melody, I have a joy that God is putting there. And so, you know, I hope you do. I know that most of you want me to the singing to be to myself, you know, in myself, because when it comes out audibly, well, it's not always on key. But you know, if it's inside going on, I'm humming, whistling, you know, and the Lord's song is in my heart, then there's a joyful words that come out. And that can be helped by playing godly music. You know, if we put godly music in our homes, I do often. Now, of course, in our house, like many of your houses, you know, we all have different schedules. People are running every different direction. Sunday morning's one of the best times because we're all getting ready the same time to go to the same place at the same time. And so every Sunday morning, there's a stereo in our living room, and I put Christian music on and I turn it up so it floods the house, you know. Because I want to come to church in a spirit of worship and with a heart of, you know, joy. And that Christian music can help induce that. And so that's why even in your car or at work, if you're able, or wherever you are, you know, nowadays you can always, you know, when I was on the airplane, practically, I don't know, 80% of them had headphones, you know, going into their phone or somewhere. They were listening to something. And so you can listen to God's music. Now, if you want a house that rocks and rolls and everything else, you can listen to that kind of music. But if you want a peaceful home, you can listen to God's music. So there's a joyful communication. And we need to cultivate that in our home. You know, whenever you find yourself giving way to an unjoyful communication, stop and yield to the Spirit of God. He wants you to be joyful. Now, not only a joyful communication, but a thankful communication. Verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A thankful communication. When we develop in our home joyful communication and thankful communication, wow. That transforms things. You know, when we learn to be thankful, one of the things that and this is just true, when I go to the mission field, Philippines, Trinidad, when we go there, we find people who have way less than we do in Canada, but they seem to have more of a thankful heart. I think you saw it in Africa too. It's just true. And You know, why is that? Well, the common denominator is maybe we just have so much junk and stuff where we forget to be grateful. They're grateful for every meal sometimes. They're grateful for just having clothes to wear. They're grateful for the things of life like that, health and so forth. And when a Canadian preacher comes, man, they act like I'm a celebrity or something. I'm not. But they're just grateful that somebody cares about them. Somebody would come to speak to them about the Word of God. And so don't allow yourself to be, we in our Western world, there is a complaining society. And I think sometimes social media, or not just social, but all the media that's out there, they like to articulate all of our complaints, about the government, about this and this and this. And we listen to that so much. And it puts in our minds a complaining, ungrateful, negative outlook. And we need to curb that, to put that away, be thankful. The Bible tells us that it's the will of God that in everything we give thanks. Right now I'm reading in my devotional reading through the book of Exodus. And two things that really got God upset with the Israelites. The first one is idolatry, but the second one was complaining. Whenever they complain, this manna, we're tired of manna. We don't have water. Moses, why'd you bring us here? They're complaining all the time. And God was very upset with their ingratitude. Thankful communication. We need to develop that. We need God's help in getting a joyful communication in our home, a thankful communication in our home. And so, first of all, the control of the Holy Spirit. Second of all, the communication by God's help to be joyful and to be thankful. And then lastly, a consenting to the Lordship of Christ. Look at verse 22. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." Now that's, sometimes we focus on that. And the structure is important. God ordered the home in a certain way because that's his plan. And when we operate in his plan, it works, right? But sometimes we get so focused on that, it's more about, not so much about order as it is about operation. And we always look at this pecking order, But it's really how it's to operate. And God put responsibility to the man to lead and to have leadership. And there's responsibility. There is a position there that's needed. But the last, I didn't finish the verse. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." But notice the last phrase, "as unto the Lord." And I think it's helpful when we remember that my submission. He tells both to submit to one another in these scriptures as well. And we do it as to the Lord. It's not just about, because it's part of my Christian walk. It's part of my walk with God. It's not just about my marriage relationship. Sometimes, the husband is easy to submit to. Sometimes he's not. But I do it for God. I do it to the Lord. It helped me when I learned that principle in the next chapter. I'll just show it to you quickly. In chapter 6, he talks about, he calls them servants, verse 5. We would categorize this as maybe employees or, people that we serve, we work for. He says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart." And then it says, "as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." I remember years ago as a new Christian, I was in the military at the time. And, in the military, you have to submit. There's rank, and you got to say yes, sir, and all that. And I was struggling because I hadn't quite recognized it, but God was calling me into ministry and I really wanted to serve God, and I wasn't interested in serving the military anymore, you know? I wasn't interested in serving. I wanted to serve the Lord. I just wanted to be a preacher. I wanted to, you know, I thought, why do I have to be here and do this? And, you know, but I, my enlistment wasn't up, so I, that's where I was. But then I realized, when I read this, and God taught me this, that part of my Christian service, part of serving God, was being a good soldier, being a good employee. And I looked at it completely different. And so I think even for a wife, it could help to understand that, yes, I love my husband and we're, you know, we're one and we have a wonderful relationship and filled with the Spirit, it's great. And I'm submissive, but, you know, part of my submission is unto God. I do it for the Lord. Because I want to please the Lord as much as anybody else. And so if that will help you, and it should be always unto the Lord. Not just for helping, but because that's right. And the same thing when it comes to verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. And we do this for God. Now, yes, we should love our wife, and it's not hard. They're lovely and they're wonderful. But we do it also because God tells us to. You know? I remember one preacher, he said, I love my wife because I'm commanded to. I thought, well, that doesn't sound very, you know, I'm sure your wife thinks, really, that's it. But anyway, you know, I love my wife because she's easy to love. But I am commanded to as well. And so part of my serving God is to make sure that I'm loving my wife as Christ loved the church. And that's a big, you know, that puts a big qualifier on there. You know, not just love her as I feel like I should love her, not just love her as the world's model is, but love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And there's a lot in there. You could preach for an hour just on that, how that is. But if we just put these simple ingredients into our marriages, be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, communicate with one another with joy, with thankfulness, and consent to the Lord in our submission and our love for one another, we would be happily married. And our children benefit from it. Our homes are helped. The Spirit of God brings joy. He brings the ability to submit with the right heart because we submit to the Lord. And so it's so important. The home is not just the foundation of society, it's the foundation of churches. As goes the home, so goes the church. And so let's continue to work at being happily married. I'm going to ask you to stand. We'll pray.